Cool. All right, everybody, we are live. Heck yeah. So I'll give everybody a minute or two to kind of jump in here, but basically I'll be kind of diving into my background, have some cool slides for everybody, and dive into an actual ad account and kind of build the campaign for my agency so y'all can kind of get a feel for, you know, how I build campaigns, the best way to kind of structure them, whether you have a $10 a day budget, $100 or $1,000 a day budget. But ooh, now we got people kind of coming through. Sweet. Awesome, everybody. Well, I am Dylan Carpenter. I actually know Calvin over at Simplero, and he invited me to kind of give y'all a cool little masterclass presentation on Facebook ads, basically. So I do have some slides, but I'll kind of go into my background first. Everybody has some context here, and hopefully everybody can kind of hear me okay. But as mentioned, my name is Dylan Carpenter. I've been doing digital marketing for probably four and a half years now. The first ad I ever ran was actually in college for our hockey team to get some people to go to our games. But yeah, it never worked out too well. Then, you know, after graduating, I did marketing with a sales concentration. I went to go work directly at Facebook here in the beautiful Austin, Texas, which is where I'm at currently. And I was there for a year. So I started as a marketing expert, which is kind of really more of the base advertiser level to kind of help everybody figure out what the pixel is, you know, the basic tools of Facebook. And I got really good at that and moved to an account management role, which is where I had 150 clients, some agencies, some businesses, some just direct advertisers that were my book of business, basically. And the main goal is to help them, you know, get the best return on possible with their Facebook and Instagram ads, essentially. Now, fast forward to today, it's been about 3 years since I left Facebook. And I launched an agency. I decided to kind of risk it for the biscuit. I was kind of young going out of there. So I was like, hey, I got time to mess up. So now's a good time to do it. So I launched my agency, Quality Media, which is kind of more of a performance-based marketing agency where we do Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Google, and Pinterest ads. But I would say, shoot, 80, 90% of our spend goes through Facebook and Instagram. So currently, I probably manage maybe 15 plus million in ad spend profitably. After the last Q4, it's probably 20 million plus, to be honest with you, but I have to go down and crunch all the numbers still. Now, with that being said, I do a ton on the e-com side of things. So direct-to-consumer products, fitness products, pet products, cosmetics, skincare, health and wellness, et cetera, from there on the e-com side. And I probably manage like 500, 600K a month of that. But I also do have a good amount of, you know, lead generation to where it's local businesses, brick and mortars, med spas, chiropractors, dentists, moving companies, et cetera. So luckily, all the kind of things I'll be showing is, you know, literally stuff y'all can implement tonight and kind of get a feel for different types of accounts and really more or less understanding Facebook as a kind of tool to acquire new customers, because that's what it's best for. From all the platforms we've used, Facebook's by far the best channel for acquisition, AKA growth, basically, which is where I kind of, you know, add a little coin to the growth marketer term, basically. But yeah, it's been 3 years. Quality Media is still booming. I do a lot of freelancing as well. A lot of the brands I work with have creative teams in-house. So I kind of love to go in as of more of a white glove service to kind of work with their teams internally and help them, you know, go from shoot 10K a month to 30K to 100K to 300K a month, essentially, in ad spend. Now, since y'all know a little bit about me, I'm going to dive into the goods of the salt and start sharing my screen. Oh, and just so everybody has an idea on the kind of timeline for this is I plan on doing this for shoot maybe 40, 45 minutes, kind of diving into the actual slides and kind of going in depth. And the last 15 minutes is kind of be more of a kind of Q&A session to essentially answer any kind of questions you have, go over, you know, real life scenarios, et cetera. But let's get to the nitty gritty. Awesome. So hopefully y'all can see my screen okay. I'm going to move my little camera thing down here. But basically, we have a special Simplero presentation specifically for y'all. I have spoken on this quite a few times, but I've updated a good amount to kind of make it more understanding depending on where you're at, whether you're beginning, intermediate, or advanced. But of course, today we'll be diving into Facebook and understanding Facebook as a growth platform. Now, as mentioned earlier, the growth side of things is what Facebook kills it for. So when it comes to driving new customers, whether it's lead gen or e-com, we use Facebook primarily. And then, you know, Snapchat's been pretty good here. But for today's case, we're going to be just talking about Facebook and Instagram. So a little bit of my background. I got the finger guns blowing up. And of course, my agency, Quality Media, on the bottom left. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of, y'all can totally take this. It's kind of more of a bio for myself, but I've worked with probably over 800 businesses. I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, that's been startups, you know, businesses who have been around for a while. I have a couple accounts that have been on Shark Tank. some Fortune 500 companies. And I also have a good little book of business for agencies I work with as well to basically execute the ads for their clients. So the agency comes to me, they don't have a media buyer or anything, and they basically outsource that work to me under the agency's brand. So that's a good little piece of the pie as well. But more of today, we're going to be diving into understanding Facebook ads and how to use them to drive your business's growth or kind of wherever you're at, basically. And we'll also be kind of diving in how to take advantage of the machine learning. The algorithm is way smarter than any media buyer out there. So I'll be kind of diving into what to basically do to kind of feed the beasts to get as much data as possible so you can get better results over time. Because from all the cases I've had, you know, it's not a switch we flip, especially when you have a solid track record. It never really pans out that way to where sometimes accounts kick off in a month. Sometimes it takes 3 months. I have one account to where we're finally breaking even to kind of ramp up on month 4. So it's kind of case by case here, but the algorithm is going to be one of the bigger pieces of the conversation today to kind of really understand how it works, how the ad costs, the ad inventory ultimately places your ad in a good spot, because Facebook's one big ad auction. So you're bidding against millions of advertisers basically to kind of find a good placement in the newsfeed to get somebody to buy a product or fill out a lead form. We'll also be diving into some simple structures you can implement this week. So for that specific segment, I'm actually going to be, you know, sharing my screen, diving into an ad account and building some ads for some videos I created last week. So that way we can kind of go from start to finish on the kind of campaigns, audiences, and then last but not least, creatives. And as mentioned in here, last but not least, we'll have a little 15-minute Q&A session to kind of knock out of the park to answer any kind of questions y'all do have here. So the biggest problems to solve where it could be in kind of y'all's case here is using Facebook ads good for my business at this point in time? Now, I'll dive into this part immediately just because I think, you know, everybody should kind of figure this out basically. But if you've never sold a product or have any kind of organic traction just yet or word of mouth, if you were to try Facebook ads, it's probably not going to work out very well. I would definitely recommend having a proof of concept first, whether it's selling on a local level, nationwide, cold calling, emails, LinkedIn, Facebook Messenger, Clubhouse is a big new one. But if you're selling something or a product, you know, get a good sample size first, figure out how the reviews are, the feedback you have, because you're never going to hit a home run out of the gate. Sometimes for Barry Bonds, but not in this scenario. So you kind of really want to have that proof of concept, the data to be able to say, okay, cool, my customers love this hook of this product. Let me focus on that a little bit more versus, hey, my store is live. I'm going to start running ads. I've never had a sale. Let's hope I'm going to throw the spaghetti at the wall and let's see what sticks basically. So when it comes to at this point in time, you definitely want to have a little bit of a track record. It doesn't mean you've had to have run ads before, but you at least want to have some sales to be able to gauge, okay, I do have a good offer, a good product or a good service that could work well, you know, on the paid ad side of things, just because I already have a good, you know, 100 customers who are already happy. So for me to kind of scale up, a good way to kind of use that is Facebook ads essentially. Number two, I just kind of touched on this, but while I get sales and leads immediately, what kind of expectations do I need to keep in mind? So I'll be upfront on the lead gen side, you can get leads pretty quick, but when it comes to actual e-com sales, sometimes you can hit it off on the first day. Sometimes, as mentioned, it's taking us 4 months to break even for another account. So it's kind of case by case. I actually have 4 auto repairs I do ads for. And even though they're all promoting the same offer, because our landing pages are different, the creative is different, they all have complete different funnels and different results there. So while, you know, I killed on the auto repair side, you know, just because the concept is there, it's not going to fit for every single one of those businesses. So where you really have to gauge what works best for you, which requires testing. And if any of you have tested, shoot, maybe 20% of those work. But of course, those 20% outweigh the other 80%. So you really kind of want to test there to kind of make sure you're not going a one angle to kind of test different copy angles, creatives, et cetera, to kind of give the machine learning more room to place these different ads, because Facebook optimizes on so many different levels. Who's clicking on your ad? Who's within the audience? How many purchases you have? How many leads you have? Facebook looks at all of this to kind of find a good prospect for you essentially. So when it comes to those expectations, think of it as an investment. I have this on a couple slides coming up, but you need to have an investor mentality. You know, you're not going to go on Robinhood or, you know, go bet on some, you know, day stocks and, you know, make a quick 10K real quick. it's the exact same concept. If you want to put $5,000 to $10,000 into something, you should see a really fruitful return over, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months to a year. It shouldn't be something, hey, I put in $10 today. Why do I not have $10 more in my pocket? So those expectations are really extreme to where you really have to kind of understand you're never going to flip a switch to get crazy good results out of the gate. So you really kind of want to test different creatives, audiences, hooks or angles for your ad copy to kind of gauge what works best for you to kind of allocate more budget to that. But of course, it all revolves around testing. Now, when it comes to step three, how do I make sure I don't waste any money on ads if I don't know much about them? So Facebook has a nifty little tool called the Facebook Blueprint. It's free and it has a ton of basic, intermediate, and advanced, you know, modules or little, I guess, lessons that dives into everything Facebook ads related. There are a lot of, I guess, courses or little modules within the Facebook Blueprint that are relevant, like Facebook TV. I've never tracked that, but there's a course on it and I'm definitely not going to do it. But if you're trying to get the feel for it and kind of get more familiar with the platform itself, I would recommend spending 2 or 3 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday relaxing on the couch, going through Facebook Blueprint to kind of get yourself more familiar with some of the acronyms being used, the structure of everything, how to kind of move around. Because with the algorithm being smarter than most media buyers, you know, including myself here, it's more about understanding the platform and what tools are at your disposal. So I would definitely recommend, even if you don't plan on running the ads, you know, full time or down the road, get a little bit familiar with it. Because if I end up running your ads, kind of come to you with some of these CPA, ROAS, you know, ROI kind of side of things, you want to be able to at least have a 30,000 foot overview perspective of what those kind of meanings are, basically. And when it comes to wasting money, set up a runway to where you have 3 or 4 months to kind of play it safe. Because I've had some accounts kick off in 2 months. And as mentioned earlier, this one's breaking even in 4 months. So you kind of want to give yourself runway and some cash flow here. And you don't need a crazy budget to start out. You could honestly go with 10, 20 bucks a day. For our new e-com stores, we started at 50 bucks a day. So it's not a crazy chunk of change there to kind of really gauge what's working here. So come up with a little 3 month plan or quarterly plan on saying, hey, I want to put $5,000 into ads. And as long as you can show week over week and month over month positive trends, you should be able to forecast, hey, if I continue this path, even though I'm losing money right now, where would I be in 6 months? You could be profitable and you could be ready to kind of ramp up. So it's good to kind of keep that in mind and kind of set up more of a game plan to kind of really knock it out of the park there. Now, how do I even begin? Now, that kind of stems from the point above where I was mentioning Facebook Blueprint. I wouldn't recommend boosting posts, and that's one of the easiest ways to kind of spend money on Facebook ads. And I'll be honest, the first couple of posts you boost, they usually do pretty good. But of course, as you boost more over time, Facebook asks for more money to boost for the same thing, and it kind of slowly decays over time. So while it may hit really good the first couple boosted posts, just know over time it's going to decay and not perform nearly as well. So, you know, when it comes to where to begin, that's where that Facebook Blueprint kind of comes into shine. Take some of the basic courses and just, as mentioned, spend 2 or 3 hours on the couch. You don't need to have a full workstation set up. Just pull your laptop out and kind of go through these modules because they're really helpful and they're going to educate you on essentially what to look for, the basics and fundamentals of, you know, the best practices of Ads Manager on more of the structuring side of things. If they end up, you know, recommending, hey, we would recommend, you know, specific bids or crazy audiences, I would take those with a grain of salt just because the more data you have, the more Facebook knows who your ideal customer is. So to kind of, you know, really get that data, you got to spend money. So how to begin? Facebook Blueprint. I would even recommend some YouTube videos. Don't buy a course. There are some courses out there that are really, really good, I'll be honest. But if you are kind of basic or intermediate, there are a lot of free tools at your disposal. The only downside is make sure to look at the reviews, some of the comments on the videos to be like, okay, cool. These people are legit people and not just somebody from, you know, the middle of nowhere, like, okay, let me help a friend out and give a good review. You want to make sure they have, you know, solid testimonials. There are some credibility. So you have that trust to essentially go through and spend, you know, an hour or two on these videos to kind of really learn some more. Now let's get to the nitty gritty. So understanding Facebook, this is a huge one. It changes so often. So, I mean, what worked for me 6 months ago doesn't work now. And I'll be 100% honest there. what was working for me a year ago is kind of starting to work a little bit now, to where it seems like Facebook jumps ahead of their game and takes a step back, then jumps even more, then takes a step back. That's kind of what I've noticed throughout my, you know, time on the Facebook ecosystem here. So it's good to kind of keep that in mind, because you're never going to have one thing that lasts forever and ever. You know, it's like life. Everything dies at some point. So Facebook as a marketing tool. Now, this is probably from 2019, to be honest, so it's probably ramped up a little bit more. But on average, most Facebook users, probably including y'all selves, open the app 8 times a day or more. I'm probably in that 20 or 30 range, just because I look for ads to kind of, you know, get some inspiration from. And that's another point. If you have no idea what kind of ads to run, spend a good hour going through competitor websites, because Facebook knows what you're looking at. So you'll probably end up seeing some of those similar ads over the next couple weeks. So that way you can be like, oh man, this one really got my attention. I have the same service or offering. Let me try and incorporate some of their ideas into my own innovation, basically. So it's a great way to get ideas, to get inspiration, versus starting from scratch, because there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. I would just be careful on exactly copying everything something does or everything someone does, just because if you get caught, it's never fun there. Now, Facebook Messenger is fairly, you know, it's kind of one of the newer Facebook things. Of course, everybody's familiar with it, but it's huge. People have communication in there all the time, whether it's groups, one-on-one. So it's a great placement for ads. Now, with that, Messenger has over 1.2 billion monthly active users. And more recently, it's about 1.6, 1.7 billion. So there are a ton of users who are just in Messenger, chatting with friends, groups, and whatnot. Now, when it comes to Facebook as a platform outside of Messenger, and take into consideration, not everybody uses Messenger. A lot of people use WhatsApp, especially we're in the United States right now. So WhatsApp's not very big. But when it comes to outside of the US, WhatsApp is freaking huge. And of course, it's owned by Facebook. So it all kind of feeds into the same ecosystem, to where all that data comes into Facebook to use to your advantage here. Now, 83% of women and 75% of men use Facebook. This is probably more now. I wouldn't be surprised. But I mean, it just goes to show you how monster of a platform this is, because everybody's on it. And last but not least, people spend an average of 35 minutes per day on Facebook. Now, I probably spend way longer, but I mean, when your audience is on this tool like this, you want to be in front of them at all times. So this is why Facebook caught my curiosity, and why I've, you know, really went down the digital marketing realm to kind of really use this to acquire, you know, new customers for my clients and essentially be a growth guy. Now, are Facebook ads good for my business? The four questions to ask are, where are you at in your business? This kind of stems from the point earlier. Are you just getting started? Do you already have some organic sales coming through, word of mouth, referral? Do you already have a proof of concept? If you're starting out tomorrow, don't start ads tomorrow. Spend a month or two sending out some free product or doing some free services, get some reviews, some testimonials to use those to your advantage once you start running the ads, because I'll definitely tell you some of our best performing ads are the straight up testimonials. I love this product. I love this service, et cetera, et cetera. So get a proof in the pudding first, you know, really kind of test it out, test different offers, different angles, because if you go into ads with no idea who you know, what your hook is, what your unique selling proposition is, your audience, you're going to have a bad time, basically. The next step is, who is your audience? Now, this is where it's fun on Facebook, because everybody's on Facebook. I have some accounts where the average demographic shoots 16 to 30. I have some where it's 55 plus, desktop only for like a virus protection thing. It's bananas. So who is your audience? And the best way to kind of do this is create buyer personas or buyer avatars. So where I typically recommend each brand to have 3 starting out. I have some that have 6 or 7. And the reason we do this is because I could have a sleep product, for example, and this is going to be a great example. So if I have a sleep product and it's killing it, it's a supplement. You take it before you go to bed to go to sleep and stay asleep. So our current angle is fall asleep and stay asleep. Now, while that's working really good for me, I could have a different, you know, target audience that's more health conscious, to where it could be tired of getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. People hate doing that. So with that right there, I can use the same creatives, but with a different copy, and I can break into a different, you know, pocket of the audience, because you got the people who have trouble falling asleep. Then you have the people who get up in the middle of the night to go pee. Then, of course, you have the people who, you know, Fall asleep faster, fall asleep and stay asleep. Don't get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Now, those three different angles can hit different personas, all with the same creative, with just different copy angles. So you don't have to go reinvent the wheel somewhere else to be like, oh no, I'm, you know, saturating my audience, meaning I've already hit too many of them. I have too many purchases, which is usually never the case there, but it's always good to have different hooks and angles based off a specific product or service you do have to kind of gauge what works best for you. The third part is having an investor mentality mindset. Now, I learned this a couple of years ago, just because with time, you know, when I was getting started, I would have accounts and they would last a month to where, hey, no sales are coming in, we're going to dip out. Now, that was an expectation issue, but you really have to have that mindset of, hey, I may put in $2,000 or $3,000 each month for the first 3 months, and I may make a little money, but as long as I can show those gradual positive trends, this is working, obviously. So you need to be able to have at least a quarter, maybe 4 months of runway to be able to gauge, okay, this is working or this isn't working, to where it's not going to put you in a ditch there, basically. So as mentioned, you can start off with shoot $10 a day, $20 a day. As mentioned, I usually launch our e-com brands at $50 a day if they've never ran ads before. And we can usually get them to $100 a day within 7 to 10 days there. And that's just based off testing different hooks, different offers, different copy and creative. A key part to note in here is don't overtest creative. If you have, you know, 20 images, 10 videos, that could turn into like 50 different ads as if you have different ad copy. So what I would really recommend doing is build out all those ads, but kind of have it in phases. So where phase one, I'm gonna test these 5 ads. Phase two, I'm gonna test these 5 ads. Phase three, these 5 ads. And out of those 15 ads, you'll probably find 2 or 3 that are gonna work pretty good. So where you can then have a control campaign and, you know, have that getting leads or getting sales while you have another campaign for creative testing. So depending on your budget, it's very easy to overtest. So if you are spending, you know, 10, 20 or 30 bucks a day, be really careful there not to overtest it, whether it's too many creatives or too many audiences or just too many little things to cause the algorithm to go haywire. And what I mean by that is, if I added in, you know, an interest for brows or lip gloss or something along those lines, and then I wanted it to be only on the newsfeed, and then I wanted only a video ad showing there, I'm kind of hoping for a home run here, to where Facebook only has one option to hit one audience with one type of ad, to where those ad costs are going to be expensive. So I typically like to have videos, static images, different audiences to kind of give the algorithm more room to push that budget in other areas to find a profitable area. And Facebook's pretty smart to where it will push that, you know, budget to where it's working pretty good. Now, do you know your overhead costs? This one's super juicy. Just know your numbers, simple as that. Your cost of goods sold, how much does it take to, you know, to build the product, how long does it take to ship it? What are all those costs involved to kind of gauge what your break-even metric is? Because if I spend $100 on Facebook, I want to be able to kind of break even on that front end or even lose a little bit of money, just because I know if I have a good customer, a good product and a good brand, they're going to come back. So rather than trying to make money on the front end, I know I'm going to make money on the back end due to the lifetime value of a customer. And what that means is if somebody buys now, they could run out of that product or they want more of our product over time, to where that initial cost to acquire that customer, at first it could have been a little like, ooh, that's not good. But then over time, this guy bought 4 times, so that, you know, split that cost by 4. It's really profitable. So you really want to know your overhead cost before you actually kind of dive into ads, to kind of craft some sort of KPI dashboard or, you know, spreadsheet in Google Excel to be like, cool, if I'm spending this much, I have to make this much to break even. If it's above this amount, I can put more money into it. It kind of depends how you want to look at it, because some businesses want to make money on the front end, meaning if I sell your product, I want to make, you know, $1.50 for every dollar I put in. But there are also other businesses like subscription-based models, to where they eat a lot on the front end, to where it could cost, you know, $20 to buy a software and it's $40 to acquire a customer. But if they're doing $20 every single month for 6 months, that's really profitable there. So it kind of depends where you're at, but understand your numbers on, you know, a 7-day, 30-day, 90-day, and 180-day window to kind of be able to craft how much wiggle room and cash flow you really do have there. Now, I think this is killer regardless of where y'all are at. So how to get ads to work for you, basically. Create as much content as possible. Now, this could be selfie-style videos, static images. The possibilities are really endless here. And the reason I say this is because the amount of cases I've ran into to where I'm like, oh, we have too much content versus we don't have enough content outweighs the cons. So I run into so many issues where I'm like, hey, we need some videos made, some static images, some new photography. Let's get some models, et cetera, from there. So even if you're running ads or not running ads, start building out content. Hey, what's up? I'm Dylan. Here's what I do. You know, basic things like that to kind of be able to start getting more experience, you know, being on camera, of course, but then have more content to rotate through when you're kind of running ads here. It doesn't need to be professional either. That's a huge thing. People think you have to spend $10,000 on a commercial to make it really work. But I do have a podcast, Rich Ad, Poor Ad, and we dive into, you know, the best ads and the worst ads. And most of the time, our poor ads are basically people who spent $10,000 to $15,000 on a commercial, ran that in an ad, spent maybe $10,000 to $20,000 and lost like $30,000, $40,000 overall versus going to a little festival, letting people try their hot sauce. Can we record this? And that's a free freaking video right there. So that one outperformed the expensive video substantially. So don't think you need to set up, you know, a photo shoot or do all these things. If you got a good background, the iPhone, I have the 11 Pro and I take so many photos with it. So where we run those in exactly within ads. But long story short, it's just good to have an abundance of creative just in case, because as mentioned, it's like life. Everything dies at some point. Make sure your site's mobile friendly. This is a big one. You know, shoot, off the $15 million of ad spend, we've been able to show 85 to 90% of our conversions, aka sales or leads, are all done on mobile devices. So while you're building that website on your laptop or desktop, make sure to cater some time to really optimize it or make it look and flow really good on the mobile side of things, because that's where the majority of traffic comes from and, you know, converts essentially. Add a personal touch to your business. Everyone loves seeing a face behind the business they can relate with. We do this for all of our accounts, whether it's within ads. Hey, meet the founder. This is Alana. She was an esthetician for 10 years and now has a beautiful, you know, beauty brand helping women like you. Those kill it in ads just because people can kind of put a face to a name to realize, oh, this is an actual brand. I would actually talk to her in real life to have that personal relation. I would also recommend on your About Us for the website, even have that. Have a picture of you, your family, the team, so people can kind of have that, you know, personal touch to it to be like, okay, this guy's got a small business too. I'd rather support him than Walmart down the street. And it just kind of provides more credibility and trust to kind of show your story versus the generic story of, hey, I decided to launch a business. So far doing good, to kind of, you know, really paint that picture in the back of your prospects' minds to be like, man, I love what they're doing. I love what they're rooting for, their brand messaging. Everything's just exactly what I, you know, exude essentially. Now, if you're selling products online, here are some quick tips. This is where it gets tricky. Amazon, free shipping, Walmart, free shipping. All of these brands offer free shipping. So this is kind of more geared for the e-com individuals, but make sure your products are free shipping. Whether it's if you spend $40 or more, you get free shipping. I would recommend that if you have a kind of a more lower average order and or lower average order view product, just because if your product's $20, you really can't take a beating on shipping. So what I'd recommend is having something to kind of push people to spend a little bit more money in order to get the free shipping, or melt that free shipping cost into the product. So if it's $19.99, make it $22.99 to be able to attribute for that shipping, because we've seen, you know, the actual people who buy substantially higher when we have free shipping versus no free shipping. And what I mean by that is, you know, if we have 100 people who go to the site, typically 2% will purchase. It's like a 2% conversion rate. But we noticed whenever we were able to offer free shipping, that jumped to 4.5%. So that doubled just from one, you know, one little small change at the back end. Now there are other moving parts behind it, but that buyer perception is just, it's such the norm. It's hard to battle with. So I would just recommend merging those together. Create bundle offers, returning customer deals, and seasonal deals. Bundle offers kill it. You know, whether you're a service business or an e-com business, I bundle my agency stuff together. So it's really good to have higher average order values and higher lifetime values of a customer while also hooking them up to be like, hey, this will be $5,000, but if you do Google too, it's going to be $4,000. So it's a cool way to be able to add some extra negotiation power to it. But the other buyer perception trick to it is if I'm showing you an ad for a beauty product and it's $90, for a bundle of our six best products, but you're like, it's a little expensive. I don't know who you are yet. You have that $90 bundle in your head. Now, if I show you another ad of where it's just our, you know, skin peel or retinol cream or something along those lines for $29, you're immediately being, oh, hey, it's already cheaper. It's only one product. It's easier for me to purchase. So we sometimes hit people with really expensive stuff and then retarget with a little bit lower cost items just because we know it's in their head of how expensive it is. So now they get the option to spend, you know, if not half the amount to get some of the goods still, essentially. So bundle offers kill it just because they boost average order value. They kind of trick the buyer's perception side of things if you have a funnel in place for retargeting and whatnot. But they also boost your lifetime value of a customer. I'd rather sell bundles all day for $80 versus one product for $29.99. Just because it gives me more room, because if it's a lower cost item, that would mean I had to sell it on Facebook for like $10 to acquire that customer, versus a product being $80, I could probably spend $40. So that $30 difference is freaking huge. Being able to kind of, you know, forecast some of the numbers more, knowing I have more wiggle room to kind of ramp the budget up and give us some more time to gauge whether it's working or not. Now, if you are a lead gen or e-com, come up with a lead magnet. With iOS 14 coming, y'all may not know about this, but there's a new Apple thing coming out to where it's going to affect tracking for everybody, basically. So whenever you download an app or visit a website, do you want to be tracked? Most people are going to say no, just because people don't want to be tracked, really. So with that being said, build your email list, your data, get people in Messenger, WhatsApp, emails, Facebook groups, bring people into different communities outside of Facebook, just because if you can monetize email, SMS, or Facebook groups, you're going to be able to find a lot more of a bottom line, you know, boost versus, you know, doing your more generic stuff. So some of these lead magnets, for example, could be for a roofing company. You know, 2020 was bad, but 2021's the year to kind of improve your roof or something. Here are 5 tips how to do it. I typically recommend 3 to 5 tips, because any more is a lot for people to kind of deal with. So with that being said, it's good to have 3 to 5 little tidbits to kind of provide value, get people into your cycle, because if they go to your website to, you know, view one of these lead magnets or put the email in to get it, you now have their data basically. So you can try to monetize it down the long road. And sometimes it's a lot cheaper than getting a sale. So we typically go the content marketing route for this kind of data grab, I like to call it, which is basically emails. And it's more of the skin routine you're never going to want to forget. They'll go to the landing page, you know, hey, we also have a guide. It's a 40-page guide on your new skincare regimen for the morning. Give us your email. Boom. With those types of ads, they're so cheap versus buy our product right now. And Facebook knows that. So it's a great way to kind of build an email list. But the main key component I want everybody to kind of take in mind here is build your own data, basically. Have your own email list, your own Facebook groups, have something where you can kind of keep an ecosystem of your customers and prospects together, just because you won't be able to use Facebook all the time sometimes. So it's good to be able to have these other channels like email, SMS, because a lot of the brands I know can easily bring in 20 or 30% of their overall revenue via email marketing, for example. And that's something I've learned this, you know, last year, probably mid-year. So where I was like, email's dying, it's not going to be around. But then you get to meet some email guys and like, holy moly, this stuff actually works. So email's not going to die anytime soon. So get those emails. And I got a couple messages in here. Let me double check. All right. I'm selling a course. Should I take an e-com approach or lead gen approach or other? So out of the gate, Liz, I would recommend more of a lead gen approach. Maybe some kind of snippet to where, hey, we have a 10 module course. We're giving away the first 2 modules for free. Try it out, see if it's a good fit, and then you can get the full course here. So it could be a good way for you to kind of do an email grab. The only downside is if you were to give away the first 2 modules for free, you're going to get a lot of window shoppers, basically, who just want free stuff. So I'd probably, if I was in your shoes and I was just launching a course, I would give it away for free at first to kind of get some reviews, some data, gauge if there are any things I need to fix, get some feedback. And then I would probably try that for maybe a month and then put a paywall behind it. So, hey, we have a $10 trial. You get half the course. And it could be some sort of payment option to where, hey, after those $10, you get 7 days. After those 7 days, you get billed for the total amount, which could be $97 or something. So on the course side of things, I found people really want to see your credibility, how legit you are, what kind of testimonials and reviews you have. So I would definitely get those kind of proof of concepts first, because I'm not sure where you're at on it. But to your question, I would kind of go more for the lead gen approach, because if you can grab an email today and over time, you know, post videos, check out Michael over here. I was able to help him out on this scenario. People are going to kind of follow that. So it could take 3 weeks, 3 months, you know, a quarter to essentially get one of these emails you get today to convert down the road. But if it's a never ending cycle, you can kind of predict a lot of the forecasting. Now, about number one, wouldn't Facebook's ad be a great place to try something new, like a data, like data niche or try out an idea to see if it draws attention. 100%. We always test different angles or hooks on Facebook before we test it anywhere else because it's the greatest sampling, you know, platform out there. Now, let me go back to number one to double check I was right. Was Facebook ever my business at this point in time? At number one. It's a long story short, it is a good place to try something new, but you want to have a proof of concept because if you go to Facebook, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks, you're going to spend a lot more money. So where I come at with the proof of concept is, as mentioned above, get those testimonials, those review, the feedback you need, and realize who your buyer avatar is, or your customer is, to be able to write copy unique to them. And the reason I say unique to them is because a lot of the audiences I use are really broad. They're 30 million plus, to where my copy just calls out that person. So the more you can understand your buyer avatar, what gets them to fill out that lead form or buy your product, focus on that out of the gate. Because whenever we test different angles, whether it's creative or copy or a new offer, we use broad targeting, meaning zero interest, zero lookalikes, zero data, basically, to where I just throw it out there and see how Facebook reacts to it and what kind of engagement it gets. And typically, we'll do four or five of those a month and maybe one or two really hit off, but it gives us inspiration for those next steps, basically. Now, do you consider bring a friend for free, two for price of one, for a course bundle? Good idea or not? I'd be careful with how you phrase it. I would probably do a buy one, gift one. I don't think I would do it now. I'd probably do it more for the holidays or for a specific sale or once a quarter. But I think the buy one, gift one is killer. Hey, tag a friend who would love this. You know, you get 50% off or something. So that offer kills it. But I would recommend coming up with different angles or ways to portray that to see which one kind of hits. Because I see most of, you know, buy one, gift one kind of typically doing the best. But if you end up having get one for you and a friend and get 50% off, that could be more enticing depending on who your audience is. So I would definitely kind of test some more angles in that scenario. Now, diving back into the goods, we dove into the lead magnet, you know, different ideas to kind of boost your conversion rate, bundle offers, you know, how to boost lifetime value of a customer, boosting your average order value through bundles. Now, this part is going to be really basic. I'm going to be doing mostly talking here, but it's machine learning. It's the Facebook pixel, basically. Now, what that is, it's similar to Google Analytics, where Facebook tracks, you know, actual user profiles. So if you go to a website, Facebook knows exactly what you're going to. It doesn't know if you're adding to the cart, initiating checkout, purchasing, 100%. If I go to Sephora.com right now and I'm looking at beauty palettes for my girlfriend, I would almost guarantee you within the next 2 hours, I'm going to be seeing more beauty palettes from Sephora as well as competitors here. So the Facebook pixel tracks all of your on Facebook and off Facebook activity that helps our ads essentially show them to the best performing candidate. Because if I had Jenny on the couch who just bought a whole makeup palette, you know, a week ago, who has no desire for it, or I got Jesse who's online on Sephora looking at palettes right now who hasn't bought yet, I would much rather show it to the girl on the right who hasn't bought yet, but who's actively looking. And luckily Facebook knows that. How good is it? It's really freaking good. But as mentioned, you got to buy that data to be able to tell Facebook what actions you want your users to take, whether it's purchasing, filling out a lead form, adding to the cart, or initiating checkout. Facebook tracks all those events, basically. So you can kind of, you know, really tell it, I want people to purchase. It'll find people within your audience who are most likely to purchase based on their actions, behaviors, and demographics within Facebook. And how to use it to your advantage. Once you have this data, as mentioned, with a lot of my accounts, we do a lot of broad targeting. So the way we kind of ramp up and spend a lot of money is creative testing, copy testing, and different angle or hook testing. Most of our audiences are 30 million plus. So I'm not trying to find small business owners, you know, people who love digital marketer or people who love, you know, Google Analytics or something. I'd rather just go really broad and let my copy speak to them because Facebook optimizes on a creative and audience level. So stemming back from that thing I was mentioning earlier on the sleep side of things, if I have three different angles, depending on who's clicking on that ad, Facebook knows that. So even though they're going for all the same audiences, depending on who's clicking on that ad, Facebook will show that ad similar to people similar to them, basically. So one angle could be great for one person, but terrible for the other. But luckily, I have another creative with a different angle that's perfect for them, basically. So your audience targeting is, it's kind of hit or miss. So I really recommend, rather than trying to come up with crazy audiences, test different copy and creative, because that's what's going to move the needle. And that's all from the algorithm. And the algorithm is way smarter than any media buyer out there. Even with, you know, 15 million plus spend, I use the algorithm way more than trying to, you know, hack it or ninja it or do some crazy stuff, because that causes more harm than good. Now, heck yeah, y'all. So we got two new notes. So can you elaborate on how these new changes may apply to affect Facebook ads? Yes. So iOS 14, it's all Apple tracking, basically. So the biggest issues I'm going to be having is how Facebook reports. This is where it gets tricky, is because you can, you know, we're probably going to run out of time here, but whatevs. We're probably going to, you know, track 8 events. So a view constants, a product page view, add to cart, initiate checkout, purchase. These are all events you can track. But with this new update, you can only track one of those events. So if somebody goes through and purchases, I can see that, but it's not going to show me they added to the cart, initiate checkout, or view the product page. So it's going to limit a lot of what Facebook tells us, which sucks, because if I'm not getting sales for a new account, I look at cost per initiate checkout, add to cart cost, to kind of gauge people are, you know, going here and, you know, adding to the cart. Maybe there's something wrong with our checkout page. So nothing's been formally, you know, released yet by Apple or Facebook, so we don't entirely know just yet, but we do expect that kind of issue. The next one is Facebook reporting and how they measure. So right now, Facebook, you know, measures on a 28-day click, one-day view. And what that means is, say on the first of this month in January, I saw an ad, I clicked on it, I went to the website, I didn't buy it. And say today on the 12th, I bought that product. They would then show that product being bought on the first within Facebook's eyes, and it goes back 28 days. With this new change, it only goes back 7 days, which isn't great in my opinion. I use it for reporting, but it's also easy for me to say, hey, on the first we had 10 sales. And then if I look at that a week later, hey, turns out we had 12 sales. Then I look at that 3 weeks later, hey, we actually had 15 sales on the first. And what that is delayed attribution, because people don't buy immediately. Sometimes it takes maybe a week, a day, or hours to kind of really pull the trigger on something. So I'm mostly concerned with the reporting side of things here. Now, how do you know which purpose of your Facebook ad campaign to choose? Signups for a free webinar? Is it best to choose conversions rather than traffic? Great question. I never run traffic campaigns. And the best way to put it is because you're optimizing for link clicks or landing page views. Now, in Facebook's eyes, that's super easy. You'll get cheap landing page views, great click-through rates, super cheap link clicks, but I'll almost guarantee no purchases or leads. Why it does that is because Facebook's too good at, you know, giving you what you ask for, meaning if I have a campaign going for purchases, Facebook will get me that. If I have it going for add to carts, I'm going to get way more add to carts, but less purchases. So to your point, traffic just gets you a lot of low quality traffic that makes your numbers look better than they really are. So what I recommend is a conversion campaign, either optimizing for purchase, or if you're doing lead generation, you can make events based off URLs. So say you go to my website, qualitymedia.co, you fill out a form, it's going to take you to a thank you page. So basically what I do is create a little tracking sleeve for basically slash thank you. So any user who goes to that qualitymedia/thank you, I can track them and I can optimize for that. So Facebook sees that data and finds people similar to them basically. So that's kind of the algorithm and how powerful it is, just because if I'm signing up for a free webinar, I am 100% going to optimize for that free webinar versus something like traffic, because the quality just isn't the greatest, if I'm being honest. Now, if you're doing the native lead forms and not taking them to a website, be careful with that. Only piece of advice, I don't do them personally, just because it's really easy to get leads. You know, it auto-populates your info, so it's easy for people to put it in. And I've had dozens of cases where I've called the lead immediately after filling that out. They're like, hey, I didn't fill this out. And I'm like, okay, my bad. So I don't do those typically, just because they're almost too easy to fill out. So the quality is atrocious. Now, uno más. So in regards to choosing an audience, will you clarify, do you recommend not choosing an audience at all? And what are the situations where you would choose an audience? So if I have a specific product that only works for, I got a good one for you actually. So I have this product and it's a standing aid basically. So it's for older individuals in the senior retirement community. So for this account, we don't go broad because I want to be able to hit people who are AARP members, who have retirement interests, retirement community, retirement home, all these different interests, just because all of our copy is around retirement homes. So in that specific scenario, because of the copy being so narrow and targeted, I do put those in there just because of, you know, I don't want it to go to everybody here. But in that specific scenario, that's when I kind of use actual interests. And you want those audiences big. So while I do have those retirement interests, I stacked like 5 or 6 of them. So where that audience is still probably 10 million plus. So it's not very targeted, but it's got the gist of it at least. So with that being a newer account, plus the product being only really good for, you know, individuals 55 plus in senior care units or homes or communities or whatnot, we just want to make it really obvious it's for them. So where if I then have another campaign with that same product to where it's like stand up easily with no problems at all, to where it's not as, you know, senior citizen focused, I'd probably go broad there and let Facebook pick. But the big thing here is you want to have some data to at least give Facebook something to optimize for, because there are some cases with newer accounts where I'll do really targeted campaigns and they work for maybe a week, but then they die off really quickly. And then I'll test some broad targeting. And when I mean broad, zero interest, zero lookalikes, I may adjust the ages a little bit, but that's literally it. And then we'll kind of test that and see lower costs, just because when I don't have, you know, audiences in there, I don't want it to be on one placement, meaning like just mobile feed on the newsfeed on mobile devices. The more things you try and critique, the more Facebook's going to drive those ad costs up, which are going to drive up your CPL and CPA and overall numbers there. Now, y'all, let's get to the good stuff. So I'm going to be diving into Ads Manager. This is going to be quick. I was going to build a campaign, but I don't think I'll have time for it. So with that being said, let's do it. So here's my Quality Media main ad account. Now in this scenario, this is actually perfect for y'all because I want leads, but I don't use this lead generation objective because it's very easy to fill out. So I do conversions all the time. Now I name these top of funnel conversions, funny video, because it's a video of me getting a COVID test and people are gonna laugh at it probably. Now I'm gonna go really broad with this, just because I do have a good amount of data. I mean, $600 spend over time, but I mean, it's all like messenger campaigns and stuff. But for the ad itself, I'm gonna call this one funny one, just because I have an idea of what it is. Now, just so everybody has an idea, with these different campaigns objectives, I'll be honest, the only ones I ever use are conversions and catalog sales. And that's kind of it, if I'm being honest. I may use reach for retargeting, but what that does is it just shows the ad to everybody. So if I have an audience of 1,000 people, everybody's going to see an ad and it could be expensive, versus if I have an audience of 1,000 people for conversions, only 10 to 20% are going to see that, just because they have the best chance to take an action I want them to take off of Facebook. So traffic campaign will get you a bunch of clicks, but the quality sucks. So I really only do conversions and catalog sales. Now that's at the campaign level. When it comes to ad sets, think of audiences and geo-targeted area. So in this scenario, I'll go ahead and select my pixel. We'll just do contact because that's what it is. For daily budget, I'll just make that $20 here. And there are some options like dynamic creative, which is where rather than having 10 loan ads, I just give Facebook 4 pieces of creatives, 3 pieces of copy, and it mixes them all up together to find what combination works best. And it works really, really well. When it comes to audiences, I typically exclude people who have, you know, filled out a form over, you know, 180 days and 30-day website visitors, because being top of funnel, I want it to really go to cold audiences because I'm going to have another campaign meant for retargeting basically. So in this case, for the scenario, I'm going to go ahead and just the age, because all my clients are 30 plus. So I'm going to go 30 plus here. And as you can see, automatic placement, I would recommend this 1000%. But this is exactly how I set up my ad sets when I go for the more broad approach. When it comes for the more ad side of things, let's go to my website real quick. So I'm just going to snag this URL. And yeah, this is error comes up here. So I usually do that first to just get rid of that freaking error. And of course, for the call to action, learn more. When it comes to ad media, I just got this video like made yesterday for this purpose. And of course, it's very corny. Oh no, and I have to resize it. But basically, let's go ahead and show you the goods. You're gonna love this. So negative COVID test, positive return on ad spend. So that's kind of what I'm going about. Now, I do see a message in here. Do you use lookalike audiences at all? I do, but it's kind of getting more rare and I only use 10%. So when you make a lookalike audience, it's based off your current data. So if I have an email list of 1,000 customers, I can upload that into Facebook and make a lookalike audience based off them, which is finding people similar. So they usually work really well, but you have the option to create 1, 2, 3, all the way to 10% lookalikes. The 1% is supposed to be the highest quality and the smallest audience, which is like 2.3 million people. But with those audiences being so small, they don't last long in my opinion. So I always go 5 or 10% to where I know it's like a 10 million plus audience size. So that's kind of the only time I use lookalikes, to be honest. When it comes to your other point on the conversion objective right now, you're showing 16 leads. I don't understand the statistics on why such a low number. Will this affect my ad? Have I done something wrong? So I think you're fine there. If you start seeing angry faces on your ad, I would probably reset it and just make a new ad to get rid of that. Because if you start showing a lot of angry faces, that'll like add negative feedback. And it's not going to get you banned or anything or any issues. It's just, that's what people are going to see. And buyer perception is real in that scenario. So if you start getting negative feedback on an ad, you can either A, hide the comments or delete them. I would recommend hiding them because Facebook knows when you delete comments and it's going to add your cause your page to have more penalties and drive up ad costs. So hide those. What I also recommend is from your page, reply to comments. If somebody's bashing you or ripping you a new one, pull the nice guy routine out and just be like, hey, I understand where you're coming from. Our products are, you know, not tested on pets. They're FDA approved. And take the smart way out. And if they start replying, let them have a one-sided conversation because sometimes your customers will come in and help you out. And then sometimes, you know, that engagement is actually good. So whether it's good or bad, the more engagement your ad has, the more organic reach it's going to attribute to. So if I have an ad and I, you know, get 1,000 impressions, meaning 1,000 ads shown on the paid side, I may get 100 to 150 organic reach, meaning I didn't have to pay anything for those. And the more engagement we have, the better chance we have to have a higher organic ranking, meaning our ad's going to reach people for free, basically. So good, bad engagement, you know, let it feed the beast. You know, if it's excessive, duplicate the ad, get rid of that, you know, stuff and start it from scratch, basically. Now, let's go ahead and get this ad set up. So let's talk about getting a nice return on your ad spend today. Let's get you an audit and a strategy call. So super simple, if I'm being honest. It's driving me absolutely bananas on the format of this video. Gosh, drives me, pisses me off. But it is what it is. It goes to show, I recommend one by one. So that way you can really use this across all ads, Facebook, Instagram, shoot, Snapchat, Instagram stories, you name it. Because you can reuse Square a lot. So where if you make something like 9x16 or selfie format, it's not fun to edit. So I wouldn't recommend it. Now, in this specific scenario, this is an actual ad I'd probably use, you know. I'm kind of corny, so I don't go above and beyond. You know, if you see this ad, you're probably going to get hit by retargeting ads. But something else I love to do is dynamic creative. So what we just did was one ad. I would usually duplicate those and have 3 or 4 other ads. Now with dynamic creative, what I can do is I can add in one more video. You can add 10 videos if you wanted to. So now I have these two videos here. Let's add another piece of copy. Talk about scaling some ads. Boom, for a headline, schedule your call today. Plot twist, my ad account got disabled right now. Okay, cool. So for this specific account, that's not the right one. Top creative, here we go. So this is dynamic creative right here. Oh, hopefully I'm back, everybody. We'll see. I'm gonna delete some tabs real quick. Oh, hey, shouts out. So cool. So this ad is dynamic creative, what I was kind of just creating. And something cool you can do is I can see which images perform the best here. So on a lifetime scale, we've spent only $142, so not much for the specific one. Let's go to a bigger spender. So this one spent $1,300. So I can actually go in here and see which creatives work the best, had the best cost per acquisition. I can kind of dive into which text, aka the body headline, worked, which works the best. And then I can find the best headlines, which work the best. So once I see what's working, I'll typically bring those into their own, you know, ads basically, and let them kind of run wild. Now, that's basically it, y'all. I kind of wanted to give us some time to have any questions and kind of go through these. But if you have any questions, y'all can find me on Twitter, Clubhouse, Facebook, LinkedIn. Clubhouse is where all the cool kids are these days, so I'll be doing a lot of videos or audio on there. But yeah, if you have questions, go to qualitymedia.co or Facebook and just hit me up, and I'd be happy to kind of help. So, time to dig into these questions, y'all. Alrighty. So, is there a limit to how big your audience should be for an effective campaign? That's a great question. I personally think the bigger the better. Now, what I mean by that is creative and copy move the needle a lot more than crazy audiences. So what I'd recommend is finding 3 or 4 ads that you think would work really well, making them really broad like we did for ourselves here, and then just letting them run wild. Set them at $10 a day, see how Facebook allocates that, see how the engagement is to kind of see what works best. But to answer your question, my favorite audiences are 30 million plus, just because we'll scale them up really fast. But if you are spending smaller budgets, I think 10 million is a really good starting point, just because if you start having, you know, 2 to 5 million, it's almost too targeted to where you don't have a proof of concept first. So you're really kind of going for that home run out of the gate. So, you know, if you want to get targeted, just try and go above 5 or 10 million kind of starting out to kind of really gauge whether it's your ads. Because I guarantee if there's an issue, it's probably your creative versus the audience you picked here. So, yeah, y'all, I think, oh, here we go. We got more. Perfect. So I target women who are employed in corporate organizations. Can you recommend how to target them? That's a tough one. So I would... They have like job titles you can do on interest, but I don't use those because they're so small. If you look up how many popes there are on Facebook, there are 15,000 when there's only one pope. So it's kind of a lot of not great stats basically for those job titles. But if I'm looking to target women who are employed in corporate organizations, I would call them out. Women in corporate, you won't believe this new finding we found that's going to impact you and your job or something. Maybe something like that would probably kill it. I would be careful on using the words you or your because it's going to be really targeted. And Facebook doesn't like calling out attributes. But if you were saying, hey, this guide is perfect for women in the corporate world, but I would kind of go for that more content marketing approach because I think that would actually get a better bang for your buck versus trying to, you know, have interest in the corporate ladder, just because there really aren't solid interest for that, I feel like, on Facebook on the B2B side. So I would actually pay more attention to your copy and just call them out directly. Another good option for you, while this is a Facebook conversation, is LinkedIn. LinkedIn's super similar to Facebook, and you can go off of, you know, job titles, industries. It's really good for B2B, but it's more expensive. So to answer your question, I would really focus more on the copy versus actual audience targeting. And just call out women in the corporate world there. How to target different countries. And geez, I live in a country with only 5 million persons. Hey, that's no big deal. You know, I run ads in Mexico, the UK, Canada, Europe, and I'm in Austin, Texas. So it's totally fine. If your region's only 5 million, that could be a good thing. Because a good example is Mexico. I don't know how many people on Facebook on Mexico, but because it's not as dominant there, it's so cheap. So while you live in a country with only 5 million people, you may not have the same metrics as like a US-based ad account because it's really expensive here and people push a lot of money here. So whether the audience size, I mean, test it out, because I know in Mexico, it costs $3 to $5 to show 1,000 ads versus in the United States, it's $25 to $30. So that's like a 10x increase, if not more. So I wouldn't stress if you're in a small country, you do have other regions to kind of target, but even if it's a small area, that probably means it's not going to be very competitive. So your ads could probably be cheap. And when it comes to targeting different countries, that's more of the ad set level. So I'll go ahead and give you a quick little recap for this. So real quick. So let's go click that back button a bunch. Bingo, quality media. So on the broad side of things, I can come in here and change, you know, I could do Croatia if I wanted to. So, I mean, bingo. So that's kind of how you add different states there. Different ad groups per country, 100%. I would not recommend having Croatia, Europe, US, and Canada all in here, because what I kind of mentioned earlier is all these different regions have different ad costs. So if Facebook shows a killer click-through rate and cost per click in Croatia, but no one's purchasing, it may push budget there when you don't want it to. So if you are going into regions that are completely opposite from a wealth perspective, then I typically would have a US campaign, a Canada campaign, an Australia campaign. And within each one of those, I could have audiences or I could go broad. But on a campaign level, I keep regions separate because different ad costs, basically. But yeah, y'all, heck yeah. Snazzy. Well, I think this is the cue for the time. I just realized I have a little bedhead. Sorry about that, y'all. But if there are questions, hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, website. And hopefully you got some value out of this. And if anybody wants this, the slide deck, just hit me up. I'll send it over. It's not fancy. I'm a talker, to be honest. So, but yeah, hopefully that was good. No problem, Laura. Shouts out. No problem, Liz. All right, everybody. Well, I have some ads to go build and some copy to write. So if anybody has questions, hit me up. And other than that, I hope you all kill it on Facebook ads.